Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 37 is where we'll start reading tonight. My thought's going to come over a little bit later. If you're able to tonight, if you're not, God knows that and He understands that. But if you're able to stand, we'd be glad to have you stand just in reverence to God's Word. Now, when they heard this, and we know that there was a wonderful message that they heard, and that Peter, he laid it out there, so to speak. Amen. He didn't trim the message. And I want to say I thank God for men that won't trim the message. I tell you, this old book is a message that will trim us. Say amen. The message don't need to be trimmed. We need to be trimmed. And I told my wife a while ago, I said, you know, I was looking at the trees down front, and they're kind of getting bushy along the bottom down there where we cut them back and things. I said, they'd look a lot better, honey, if we trim some of that stuff off of the bottom. And she agreed with me that every once in a while, God's people need to be trimmed. In verse number 37, the Bible said, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Can I ask you a question tonight? Can you remember when the Holy Ghost pricked your heart? Boy, I can. And not only has He pricked my heart to be saved, but He's pricked my heart since then too. And I thank God some of the preaching I've said under. Buddy, God give me what I needed for that hour. Amen. And He said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Never in my life did I think I would hear about Baptists arguing over the doctrine of repentance. Now, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Isn't it something how that the Bible fit over 2,000 years ago, and it still fits today? We're living in an untoward generation. God said, save yourself from that generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. They sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You can be seated. Pray with us a moment, would you please? Our Lord, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to come in your presence. Thank you for the privilege to be among you people. And I pray, dear Father, tonight that you would just help us, strengthen us, help us to be a help to those that we minister to tonight. Lord, I pray the sweet Holy Spirit of God would take control of the service. Thank you for the song service. Lord, it's been wonderful. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd have your way in these next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The verse that got my attention was verse number 44. And all that believe were together and had all things common. I've read that verse for years and years and years and years. And all I ever thought about was how that verse ties in with verse 45 and their possessions. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. But I didn't think about in the context about there's much more in common than just the substance that God's people have in this text. And the Lord began to stir in my heart, and I want to share with you tonight just some things we have in common. And, you know, I thank the Lord tonight, and then this is not part of the message, but I thank God tonight I'm among a bunch of people that have common sense. There are a lot of people in the world that's gone. I mean, it is absolutely, literally gone. They don't have any common sense. And I thank God for that. But I want to magnify about five things tonight, hurriedly, and share them with you. And I believe it'll be a blessing. Number one, we have a common salvation. And I want you to think about that tonight. Any time that there is a difference, and there will be. There will be differences. It would be so good if God's people would just remember that what we have in common is so much bigger than any difference we could ever have. Amen? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, if you remember over in the book of Jude, I think it's about the third verse. I'm turning there right now. But I was reminded of this scripture when I thought about a common salvation. It's actually called that in the Word of God. Jude said, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, every one of us got saved the same way. Our testimonies are different. We were in different places at different stages in life. And some of us were saved young. Some of us were saved older. And some of us, like Brother Jim, were saved old. I mean, 82 years old is a miracle to see somebody come to Christ at that age. You can just look at the statistics. But the Bible said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There is a thing called common salvation. There's not two doors into heaven. There's only one. There's not two ways. There's only one. And His name is Jesus. I said at the graveside yesterday, someone said to me, it's been a year or so back now, maybe more. They said, if you had to tell someone how to get to heaven in one word, what would that word be? And I didn't hesitate. Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, Pastor, what's common about our salvation? First of all, our conviction. The Word of God said here they were pricked in their heart. And if you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, and I mentioned that a while ago, you can go back and thank God for that day. Beloved, you might have been minding your own business, but He came to where you were. He came to where I was. We may have been religious, but we may have not been religious. We may have been going through the motions. We may have not been going through the motions. We may have been just head over heels in sin, but beloved, dead is dead. And the Bible said without Christ, we're dead in our trespasses and sin. And it's Him that comes along and wakes us up and convicts us of our sin. Every one of us that's been saved has been convicted, I promise you. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father which has sent me draw him. I thank God I remember the drawing power, the convicting power. I'm not one that believes it's irresistible. I do believe, beloved, listen, that God gives a man an opportunity. And that man can come to the Lord or he can turn his back on the Lord. One way or the other. And then He convinces us. Not only did God convict me that night, but He convinced me that, beloved, Jesus and Him alone was all that I needed, amen, in order to be saved. I needed to turn. He convicted me. I needed to turn from my sin and turn to the Savior. And you're looking at a man that believes you can't do one without the other. You can't turn from the sin without turning to the Savior. You can't turn to the Savior without turning from sin. I believe it's one and the same. Amen. Repentance toward God and, not or, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he convicts us. He convinces us of sin. He convinces us of righteousness. He convinces us that we're in trouble, that there's judgment coming upon us. Amen. That's the job of the blessed Holy Spirit. And then an individual says yes to the Lamb of God, says yes to the Lord Jesus, says, no, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the guilt. I'm tired of the shame. You'd be surprised in Kingsport tonight how many are going to lay down and pillow their head and have absolutely no peace in their heart because they don't know what Pastor's talking about tonight. I'm glad, listen, not only is there a conviction, does he convince us, but he changes us. He converts us. He's the one that picks us up out of the muck and the mire and changes our life. And I believe the Bible's true. And it said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, we're not perfect. Listen to this word. Yet. We're going to be. But we're still on the way. Amen. Like Brother Mitchell said, we ought to strive to be more like Christ every day of our life. We ought to strive to be holy. The Word of God said, be holy, for I am holy. And then, beloved, God challenges us. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm talking about the area of sanctification. God doesn't just save us and just leave us right there. The Word of God said, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a common salvation. If you've been saved, beloved, it's more than just a ticket out of hell and a ticket to heaven. Say amen. It's a change in our life. And then, I just want to say this. Everybody that's experienced this common salvation, that's who He's coming after. He's coming for us. Amen. The Word of God said there in Acts chapter number 1, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, I said this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. John said it like this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, He said, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go, you could ask the question, did he go? Sure he did. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, beloved, there's a common salvation. I thank God for that. And then, not only in the Scripture do I see a common salvation. The Bible said up there, they gladly received the Word in verse number 41. That person will get saved. In verse number 44, it said, and all that believed, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God said, thou shalt be saved. That jailer, when he got convicted, you say, Pastor, how do you know he got convicted? Honey, that lantern was singing a tune. Say amen. He was trembling, wasn't he, Brother Steve? He fell down before him. He was the mighty man in charge, amen. But he fell down before him and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Thank God Paul had enough sense not to say, well, you need to hunt you a Baptist church and join it. Let's see if we can find a water hole and dip you in it. Oh, no. He said, like it is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Oh, I tell you, that's a powerful scripture. Amen. Every man that's worth his salt wants his house to be saved. Wants everybody in the house to go to heaven. There's a common salvation. Second thing I see in the scripture tonight, there's a common Bible. You say, now, Pastor, what do you mean about that? Well, look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Wouldn't it be a mess around Bible Way if we had us 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different Bibles? Say amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, there was only one doctrine they were going to follow, and that was the doctrine of the Word of God. And we're living in a world where men have stood in pulpits like this and said things so foolish as doctrine's not important. Oh, beloved, what Jesus, there's a lot hinging on what Jesus has taught us and given us in the Word of God. One young preacher told an old preacher, he said, I've got a lot riding on that book. That old preacher looked at him and said, that's a good place to let it ride. Amen. You don't have to worry about it if it's riding on the book. Amen. We have a common Bible. Verse 41 and 44, we have a common salvation. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. We have a common Bible. And then next I want you to see, the Bible said in verse number 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I don't let this scare you, but I believe that God's people have a common reverence. The Word of God said over in the book of Psalms, holy and reverent is His name. Beloved, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is what the Bible said. And beloved, I believe with all of my heart, when we're saved by the grace of God, we don't want to go our own way anymore. We saw what a mess that made, amen. But we want to fear God and walk with God. That's not backing up in the corner afraid of Him, but it's a holy reverence for a holy God. And I believe with all of my heart, we have that in common. And then the Word of God talks in verse number 45 about common goods. The Word of God said here, they sold their possessions and their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. I watched just a little bit of news this morning, just a little bit, just a tidbit of news. And it amazed me that in San Antonio, Texas, they had like, Brother Steve, I'm not exaggerating, five or six different car lines. And they had tents, and I wondered how they were doing it, probably in stations where you just kind of ease up from tent to tent. They were putting food and putting groceries in people's cars, and they were talking about the increase for the need. And Brother Steve, I picked up on that this morning. We need to do more in our church, amen. Anybody that knows anything at all about this economy knows that it's went south in a big way. Say amen. And I believe, Brother Steve, we can call attention to that. And listen, let me just say this to you. As long as I've got a green bean, I'm going to share it with you. I'm not going to let you go hungry. Amen. You say, Pastor, where do you get that in the Word of God? I don't. Listen, I'm just telling you, beloved, that the Word of God teaches that a man, he that stole should steal no more. Let him work with his hands. And then read it, that you might have to give. I heard a commercial on the radio, and this lady said on the radio, she said, we went from donating to the food bank to needing the food bank. And I want to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen to me. If you don't need the food bank tonight, it's by the grace of the living God. I know there's people in the world that are sorry. I said sorry. Daddy said it like this. They wouldn't take a job in a pie factory tasting pies. And that individual ought to go hungry. But I'll tell you, there's mothers in Kingsport that have babies and have children, amen, that are not sorry, that are working a job or two jobs or three jobs and just trying to make ends meet. And this thing has come crashing in. There's a bunch of people in Washington that say they're for the poor people, and they've hurt the poor in our country. Acts chapter number 1, go back there with me for just a moment. You say, Pastor, do you really think they sold their goods? I don't think. The Bible said so. I know they did. Watch what the Word of God said. And the Bible said in verse number 5 of chapter 1, for truly, John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You know what these people were doing? They were living like they believed that he was coming just any moment. And I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Shame on me if my neighbor's hungry and my cupboard's full when he comes. when it's no doing of their own. Say amen. Shame on me. Shame on me if somebody in this church is hungry. I think Miss Eve's put up 80-some quarts of green beans that she ain't done yet. Amen. If I come in here one Sunday and I look like a big, tall bean, you'll know why. Amen. I don't like them. I love them. She has graduated me some. When we got married, I wouldn't eat nothing but corn and green beans. I never had any broccoli in my mouth. I never had any cauliflower in my mouth. Why would you want to put that stuff in your mouth? But she kept putting it on my plate. And one day I put it in my mouth. And I found out it tastes better than it looks. Kind of like guacamole. Brother John, I never shall forget when you and I went to Charlotte, brother, and they brought that cart around there. That's the best guacamole I've ever eaten in my life. They let you pick off the cart what you wanted in it and made it right in front of you in that Mexican restaurant. You and I will load up one day and just go back just to be going. Say amen. If we could find it, I don't know if we could find it. We got down there looking at the motel, and we checked in. He said, Kathy said, these pretty good places. I remember him saying that. And we checked in. We drove around back. Half the doors and the windows was broke out of it and plywooded up. He said, this don't look too good, preacher. Amen. He said, looks pretty rough. I undone the glove box and laid that 9mm between us. And I said, there's you something to smooth it out with, brother. He told me he didn't sleep that night. He said, all I could do was lay there and look at that pistol laying on the nightstand and wondering, is it loaded? I said, well, Brother John, what good is it if it ain't loaded? Amen. We had a good time, didn't we, brother? Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. You say, Pastor, do you believe he's coming? I do. And I'm not going to go sell everything that I have. You understand where I'm coming from? But I tell you what, I'm not going to let my brother or my sister, I'm not going to let a sinner man or a sinner woman that's trying to do what's right go without. Say amen. The Bible said something, if we withhold, how dwelleth the love of God in you? I'm paraphrasing now, but if you withhold from him that need it, if you just say to somebody that's hungry, be ye warmed and filled, that ain't helping nobody. Love not in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Beloved, there was common, that's common salvation, a common Bible, a common reverence, a common goods. And I close with this tonight. If you just got excited, nobody got excited. Fellow that taught our class yesterday, Brother Don, the fellow that taught our church safety class, he said everybody knows when Sunday school's going to start. Everybody knows when church is going to start, and everybody knows when church is going to be over. You should have seen that bunch of men. You don't understand. Brother Cassidy, you just don't understand. Amen. I'll tell you this tonight. Y'all are gracious. You're a gracious bunch of people. The last thing we'll give you in the message tonight is common goals. Look what the Word of God said here in verse number 46. And continuing daily with one accord. How many aims to just continue? Just go on. Amen. With one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then the Word of God said in verse number 47, they were praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Word of God said, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. I just wrote these words when I wrote that little statement, common goals. I'm asking you tonight, if it doesn't apply in your life, don't be hypocritical, but if it does, how many of you would like to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? How many would like to hear him say that? Surely we have that in common. Amen. We want to be faithful to the things of God. I believe with all of my heart that's important. our church covenant tonight. It says these words, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, and to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale of and the use of intoxicating drinks as a beverage, abstinence of all drugs, prescription or otherwise, for other than medicinal purposes, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We believe that God has commanded that no intimate sexual activity should be engaged in outside of marriage between a man and a woman. We believe that any form of homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexuality, bestiality, incest, fornication, adultery, and pornography are sinful perversions of God's gift of sex. We believe that human life begins at conception, that the unborn child is a living human being. Abortion constitutes the unjustified, unexcused taking of an unborn life. Abortion is murder. We reject any teaching that abortion of pregnancies due to gender selection, birth or population control, or the mental well-being of the mother are acceptable. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the laws of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church of like precious faith where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad that God honors the local church. I'm glad for the stand that our church takes. We don't stand alone. We stand with the Scripture. We stand with the Savior. And we stand together, amen, in this generation that we live in. Tonight, what I want to do, many have read the Constitution and read the bylaws of the church and read the church covenant. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. If you'd like to come and enter in to this covenant with us here at Bible Way, I want to give you that opportunity to do so. I tell you, I thank God that God's still adding to the church. God knows my heart. Brother Steve, I'd like to see more saved. I'd like to see more baptized. But I tell you,
I also would like to see the church just be exactly what the church, what the Lord wants the church to be. And I thank God tonight for that early church, don't you? They faced some opposition, and I believe we're going to too. I said it, and I'll say it again. I believe before our Lord comes, we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. Nowhere in the Bible do I believe that the Bible teaches that the church will go through the Great Tribulation. But I do believe we're no better than the early church, that we may see a time of persecution before the Lord comes. There are some right now in this country, if they had their way, they'd get us out of the way. But I want you to know this, God ain't going to need their help. He's going to get us out of the way. Let them have it, amen. Let them have it for a while. Let's pray together. Father, tonight, I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, for those that have voiced a desire, our Father, to come and unite with us here at Bible Way. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead each one, our Father. Lord, it's just a fact. There are people here in our church that are more faithful to the services, though they're not members, than many that are. And God, it burdens, Pastor. I pray you'd work in our hearts. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to know we have that common salvation. And Lord, to have that common goal, to hear our Father say, well done. Lord, we love you tonight. We love our church. And I pray, God, tonight, you would help us in a special way, in Jesus' name.